It is love that gathers us, calls us, shapes us. It is love that challenges us, holds up a mirror to us, questions us. It is love that breaks us, heals us, saves us. It is love that creates us, recreates us, and recreates us again. It is love that holds our names, delights in the sound of them, and speaks them often. It is love that tears bread, spills wine, and waits at table for us. In that love, let us gather, create God's community here, and worship as one. Hello, I'm Roddy Hamilton, the minister of New Kilpatrick Parish, and thank you for the space you create for us to meet like this. There are some passages that speak into everything we are and in some way define and challenge and renew us. Romans 12 is one such passage. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to that which is good. Foundational words for us, perhaps. So let's gather round them in worship. Holy God, ancient presence and our latest breath, beyond our understanding and found in every question, in the honesty of our faith and the hope we hold, we gather and gather in you, beyond the formulas we recite and the creeds we repeat. God, who has yet to be caught by clever words, yet gives of yourself in the everyday things, the commonality of bread and wine and water. Holy God, in this place, may our spirits encounter that which the world cannot give. And in the wonder and mystery, a new adventure of colour, where the story unfolds in our own living, and we meet here through each other the commonwealth of the faithful and the common ground of faith. And here, may we do what is right and let go that which is wrong. Please hear before we do anything else those disputes, that anger, the abuse of words and mind, the prejudice we allow and fear, the limits we place on others, and the injustice we excuse. Holy God, in this place and at this time among these people, we confess, seek renewal, and dare believe it comes in your word, your presence, and hope. We gather that we might encounter you as grace, as forgiveness, as laughter, joy, renewal, and daring, life-giving, unpredictable, and generous love. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever. Amen. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honour. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals in their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Took a couple of hours off this week and found my way down to Finlayson Estate, just past Lang Bank. It was a glorious day, a bit like today, and I took a slim volume of a book to read, Four Centuries of Scottish Worship. I know, how mind-numbingly dull does that sound, which I intended to read this under the yew tree that sits in the front lawn of Finlayson House, under which it is alleged John Knox shared the first communion in the west of Scotland after the Reformation, modelling the liturgy and pattern of our worship for the Reformed era. And I thought, unlike John Knox, that perhaps I just have a wee coffee while I'm down there as well. Well, that was the intention. I arrived looking forward to all, if not feeling slightly guilty using a sunny afternoon to do this. Well, clearly the Almighty thought so too, and I was served up some karma. It's okay, God's bigger than just the Church of Scotland. Karma works for God. The coffee shop was closed, typically. So, because the shop was closed, I went down to the front lawn where the yew tree is. Well, that was private property, so I wasn't allowed to sit under it or even go near it. The photo you've just seen was taken only by trespassing for a minute or two. And to add insult to guilt and disappointment, they'd actually moved the tree, genuinely. An American company had it moved 30 metres to the right because it was in the way of the bay window. So I was never going to know exactly where John Knox had taught and shared communion. However, I did read my book, which was surprisingly interesting. Though it was and is only 40 pages long, 400 years of Scottish worship in 40 pages. Not sure what that says about our tradition, which is, according to the book, in constant flux. Don't believe a word of anyone that says we've always done it this way, because we absolutely haven't. John Knox would probably be burling in his grave if he saw us now. Pews, communion table, stained glass, carpets, an open table, an organ, singing, reciting the Lord's prayers, a whole congregation. In fact, that first communion, John Knox said that to deserve communion, no goblet should be used that had already been used for imbibing. And it was difficult to find any. And so they took from the house at Finlayson candlesticks and used them as goblets. Thus, the candlesticks that will appear on the table in the sanctuary this Sunday. A table, of course, which would have been stretched from east to west in the church and would have been planks of wood on trestles and around which would have been fenced. The earthen floor, there was no wood or tiles or carpets then. The big stakes driven into the ground and cord will have fenced the table with an entrance at each end. And at each end, a deacon would stand with a list of names. Already it had been checked if you were able to recite the Lord's Prayer and the Belief, which is the Apostles' Creed and the Ten Commandments. And on your ability to do that, you would have been given a ticket for communion. Tokens hadn't yet been invented. And that got you so far. But to get through the deacons, your name should not be on a list which was composed of those who had fallen out with neighbours or family and hadn't been reconciled. How many of us would get even to that stage, or been bothered to get to that stage? On these occasions during the 1700s, communion might be celebrated only every 4 or 5 or even 6 years. And it was a huge affair when it happened. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people outside the church, which, because the church was so small, it couldn't accommodate everyone at one sitting. And so they sat at table in shifts, and each time with a sermon and prayers and communion. But outside was a holy fair. Around our original building, there would be market stalls, and there would be food, and there would be animals, and a preaching tent, which would have been really more of a sentry box, a wooden sentry box, with one of the perhaps 6 ministers from the area all called in to serve communion, because it was such a large occasion. And they would be preaching to the masses, enjoying the fact that the hard surface of the box projected their voice out. But that's not us now, is it? But we are still in flux. We haven't settled. And the deeper parts of our tradition, that we are a free church, we have nothing prescriptive, we have nothing to do or say or respond to that we have to do. So what do we actually hang on to? What do we actually anchor ourselves in? Well, that's easy. It's Scripture. It's Romans 12. It's Matthew 5 and the Beatitudes. It's the parables. It's the reimagined stories of Jesus for our time. And the gift of bread and wine. This is our meeting place with the world, the hungry, the marginalised, the community, no longer fenced, no longer restricted. Some might want it that way, protect God from the heathen hordes, but you know, God is big enough. And anyway, this is a gift of grace. It's given sacrificially. It's expensive. It is where the life of Jesus is offered to the needs of the world, in word and in bread and wine. We genuinely have nothing else. Despite this rich tradition, the peculiarities and the hesitant love, the politics and the fashions, at the end of the day, the story and the table is all we have to give. And as we yet change, and we will, because when the church runs out of money in 2027, and when this generation of churchgoers is gone, and so few of society will be church-minded, and we as a nation continue to seek to understand who we are now, and a new kind of reformation will begin, we will hang on to what little we actually have as a church. This is all we shall have, and all we need. A story and a table. Thank you for allowing us to join you today. We have coming up on the 19th of May a great big Songs of Praise Sing Together, where we're inviting all our brother and sister churches and our daughter churches from ages past to just come and join us for a big sing in the evening of the 19th. So that'll be good fun. So please do, if you feel able, to come and join us for that. And following that, we have a whole lot of other activities, and invite you to look at the bulletin, which you can get on the website, or it might come by post to you, or by email. You can receive in any of these ways, and there will be all the information about who we are, what we're doing to celebrate, and all the other activities that we do, how we support different organisations in our community as well, particularly the food bank at St Gregory's, a whole lot of activities there. So please do join us if you can, and read what's happening in the bulletin, and feel part of this community, belong in however way, whatever way you feel able to this moment of the kingdom. There is no place on earth your mercy cannot reach. And so in this place we seek your mercy for so many people, and gather them here in grace, in hope, in love. Here we bring Ukraine and Russia, Israel, Palestine, Sudan, Haiti, and the deepest hope for peace, for a truth that sets free those who are in awe of power, whose lives are corrupted by authority and narcissism, And for those who pay the price, who are treated less than human, what have we done? Where have we twisted the intent of Paul's words about love? And for a world confused by itself, lost its sense of value, falling towards populist extremism, authoritarianism, fear of the other, closing borders, do we know what we are doing? Have we listened recently to love? And for our own communities, where our institutions feel fragile and undervalued, and for those on waiting lists, on welfare sanctions, are simply hungry, needing St. Gregory's and so many other food banks, what are we creating, having ignored the words about love? And for our families and friends, for neighbours and parish, for exam sitters and job seekers, lonely folk and isolated, we have a litany of love. May we be found among and between, as a community, a neighbourhood, a parish. So be it. Amen. Go in peace. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the common life of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore. Amen.